as designers and artists, we have to think about technologies and how we can implement them into our workflows. And slowly, people understand that this is extremely important.
Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining me. My name is Franco Variano, and I'll be your host for the Tech Plus Art podcast. Tech Plus Art is the community for curious individuals and creators who are looking to make a dent in the universe. Together, we're exploring the new frontiers of creativity, humanity, and how emerging technologies will continue to shape our culture, professions, products, and much more. Join me on this journey as we speak with artists, makers, researchers, designers, and creators from all backgrounds and fields. Tech Plus Art is an inclusive community, and we make all our content for you. So we want to hear from you. If you've got any suggestions, topics you'd like us to explore, or contribute to yourself, let us know on Twitter or via the website. You can check us out at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. So with that said, let's get to today's episode. Today we're speaking with Tim Rodenbrucke, a designer, musician, and media artist from Paderborn, Germany. After graduating from the Münster School of Design, Tim discovered creative coding and has been pursuing it in countless projects ever since, constantly pushing into unexplored territories. He joins us to share some of his perspectives and learnings, why his passion is centered around teaching creative coding to students, and much more. I highly recommend checking out his work and resources online at timrodenbrucke.de. As always, all links are in the show notes below. So let's get started. Hey, Tim. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine. I'm really excited to have the chance to speak with you today and to learn more about your journey as a creative coder and designer. But before we get into all that, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Where are you from and what was it like growing up?
Oh, well, sure. I'm Tim Rodenbrucke. I live in Germany, in Paderborn, which is a quite small city. It's not super small, but it's still small. And I'm a full-time designer and educator, and I work in this spot between design and coding. So creative coding is a term that probably most of you know. And yeah, that's something I do and that I'm very, very interested in. And I really try to explore the possibilities of code in the intersection of art and design.
That's very cool. And so where did that desire come from? How did you become aware of creative coding and what does it really mean to you?
Oh, that's a very good question because it really has a story and it has a very strong story for me. So it happened when I just learned to know Patrick Hübner, who's one of my best friends. And at that time, it was around 2014 before I heard of generative design and creative coding, but I was not really going into that. But when I met Patrick and I was making my electronic music, it was like we wanted to make a live show together, right? We wanted to have live visuals for my planned gigs, for my concerts. We had the idea that Patrick could do the visuals with software because he is a very talented designer and also a programmer. And then at that time, he was kind of bored of his very successful. He was very successful as a designer, but he was kind of bored of this job. He wanted to try something new. So we came up with the idea that he could make the visuals for a music project. And it turned out that this was a fantastic idea because from then we had lots of gigs because people just knew that we have a live show where we have generative visuals in the background as a projection. That was kind of a USP. After about 12 months, I felt like I don't want to make music anymore. I want to make creative coding. I want to learn creative coding. And luckily, Patrick was okay with that after 1 week of trouble. We was really fighting a bit about that because I destroyed the band project he was putting so much effort in. But in the end, we decided to, well, go together into creative coding. And he showed me everything he'd learned. And from that time, I'm extremely fascinated and super. I really love that field. It's amazing to be in there. And that's basically how it happened.
Wow, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there I want to touch on for sure. So first off, you mentioned that you were a designer and an educator around creative coding and the space between design and computation. So how did you first make this leap into creative coding? What was that shift in your own mindset and some of the challenges that you had to overcome in order to combine these two disciplines?
That's something I still have to think about a lot because I see that problem often when I talk to my students because learning technology and learning coding is not super easy. For me, it was much easier than maybe for somebody who has no touch points to people who do that because you really need, let's say, 1 week of intense work on that thing because otherwise you don't get that, you can't jump over that wall. It's very important to have something like a kickoff phase where you really focus on that thing for just a week or something. And then you can really relax a bit more and just do something every day. But I think it's very helpful to have an intense phase of diving into that thing. That's very, very important. And that's what I try to include into my teaching. I'm working for universities to teach creative coding for mostly graphic and communication designers. And I've tried to understand their psychology and their buttons I have to push to get them onto the right track. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And so when you first got into this in 2014, 2015, what has changed since? How has the creative coding landscape evolved over time based on your experience?
So creative coding changed a lot, I think. And at the time when I started, I didn't have a deep insight into that scene. And I just started to create graphics. And it was so fascinating because these graphics were very complex. Before, it was just not possible for me to create such complexity in Illustrator or Photoshop or something. So that was very fascinating. But, you know, these graphics were just complex graphics. And it was very challenging to find a way to communicate why creative coding is very powerful and very cool. And I think I'm on the track, and now I know why people should learn that. But to answer your question, things changed very much, I think, because the awareness of creative coding or for creative coding really is there now. When I started, it wasn't existing. Now I have students that are really interested and that really want to learn that, especially because they just saw something they found interesting. But before, it was really not really interesting for our students, I think.
It's very interesting that you bring up the point of being a pioneer. And on your website, you even use the term unexplored territories. So what is it about creative coding in particular? Why is it different from traditional design? And why is it important to be applying technology into this field?
Well, we are living in times of rapid digitalization. Everything changes very, very fast. I feel like every week there's a new framework on the market that has to be evaluated. And this is extremely frustrating and challenging for creatives, because finding the right tool set in times of disruption, of weekly disruption, is an extreme challenge. And I think that what I find very motivating is that learning the very basics of something, especially in technology, helps you to make fast decisions about a technology. So if you understand how programming works, you can evaluate a new technology much better. That's the main value of creative coding, I think, to understand how technology works. It's a playful way to learn that very complicated stuff. So before, we had to read books, and these books were boring, right? And today we have new tools, new ways of expression. We can create art, and at the same time, we learn something that can transform our careers, transform our future, also from a business perspective. Because if you are able to program an application, you can make a lot of money with that as an entrepreneur. So that's basically what I find very motivating about it. It's not just the creative and not just the art side of creative coding. It's also the fact that it really creates perspectives for young people.
That's really cool. And so continuing on that thread of teaching creative coding to designers and elsewhere, I know you've created a few creative coding tools. In particular, there's P5 Studio that I want to discuss. What really motivated you to create that tool, and how did you approach creating it based on the idea of this generative system versus a static design? What does that mean in your opinion?
The idea of a design system is very old, and I've been researching that theme in my studies when I was studying at Münster School of Design. But I felt like the tools are not really existing to create productive design system machines that can create graphic design. And well, the theory was already there, but from that moment when I've learned processing and then after web technologies, I had a moment in my perception where I felt like, now I'm able to do that. Now I can create design machine, right? I can create an application that can, in theory, can compete with Adobe tools. And I really like the idea of questioning the tools we use every day as creatives. And that's what basically motivated me to build P5 Studio. By the way, it wasn't really a huge project. It was quite simple. I was surprised that it's so easy to build a software that enables you to create poster designs that can be exported as high-resolution images, which means that these images are printable. These images have quality that a printing house needs to print that in high resolution. And that was kind of an aha moment. I felt like, okay, I can build tools that can compete with Adobe. That's amazing. So yeah, that's basically the story behind.
That's really cool. And so how is it used as a part of your courses, specifically within universities, to change the perspectives around this new field and why new technologies should be applied to design?
Well, I experience a lot of support from the students. Every course I did in my career as an educator was extremely successful. So I have great feedback for that. And I know when I've studied, there was a processing course, but nobody knew what it is. So these teachers were teaching for, 4 or 5 students, and nobody was really taking these courses. And I make the experience that people are really interested in that stuff. And well, of course, they have good reasons for that, because they see that very successful designers, or many of the very successful designers, easily adapt technologies. That's kind of rule of today's success, right? As designers and artists, we have to think about technologies and how we can implement them into our workflows. And slowly, people understand that this is extremely important.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so coming back to the evolution of the industry, you've touched a little bit on the tools like processing and P5JS, and the fact that a lot of creative coders are really pushing new web technologies forward at a very quick rate. How have you seen that evolution in particular, and what is it about the web that gets you so excited?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. Well, this is very, very important. P5JS is a web technology, and processing always had a problem. When processing was developed, it was based, or it's still based, on Java, and Java was a technology that could be used in the web back in the days when it was just invented or developed by K3S and Ben Fry at MIT. But today, Java is not really, you can't use Java in the front end of a website. So that's a big problem. And JavaScript is a technology, is a programming language that is made to make interactive websites. And the benefit of making web-based generative design or web-based creative coding projects is that they can be shared across any device. That means I can send you a link and you can open that application and interact with it, with your phone, with your computer. This is an amazing feature that no technology before had. It is extremely easy to share and anybody can experience it. And that's a big, well, that's the difference between processing and P5JS. I still prefer processing because I think it's very easy to learn. It's the perfect editor and the perfect environment to learn programming. But the good thing is that jumping onto P5JS after you've learned processing is super simple. It's super easy. You just have to learn a very few things that are a little bit different. But from that time, you can really jump onto any, well, processing foundation hosted project.
And so touching on that unique ability of the web to reach pretty much everyone everywhere through a web browser, how do you balance tool-based projects and web-based projects in your agency workflow, especially when it comes to communicating or helping a client understand the value of creative coding within some of these projects that they themselves may want to achieve?
Well, in my work as a web developer, it's quite difficult to communicate what kind of possibilities we have with web technologies, because mostly my clients request websites. And websites, from my perspective, don't really benefit from creative coding technologies. But the thing is that with creative coding technologies like P5JS, we can build tools. And that's new, right? That's new. We can build tools that enable us to create infinite possible variations of a specific poster design or something. Or we can tell somebody at the other end of the world to create a poster or to create a user-generated content-driven design stuff. So that's new. And that's also something that can be applied to marketing. And it's a very new thing. And well, I have two different clients. One client wants websites and one client wants a tool. And tool clients are much easier to convince that generative design creative coding is very powerful.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so on that note, as a creative coder yourself, as someone who's produced tools, educational courses, products, and more, what's been the most ambitious project that you've undertaken?
My most ambitious project? I think it's finding the why of creative coding and communicating the why of creative coding, because that's very important. People don't understand what technology can do, and I try to translate that into the creative field to my students. That's basically very difficult because the answer is not short and not easy to find, but that's something I'm working a lot on.
That's awesome. And so one of your most recent projects is the launch of an e-learning platform and a creative coding course called The Essentials of Creative Coding. Can you tell us a little bit more about what motivated you to put this out there and what you hope to do with it?
Maybe that's my most ambitious project. Well, from a project perspective, right? Well, I want to inspire and I want to empower young people. That's basically what drives me. And that's what I want to do in my future. And I would love to do that my whole life because that makes me happy, right? And I like to do that one-to-one or, you know, in my classes. But I also would like to spread that message and that stuff into the world. And my e-learning platform is, well, my way to do that because I think many people could benefit from that knowledge and also from that mindset. I think they are much better programming teachers than me. There are some people who really know how to explain everything in detail. But my focus is to inspire and to get people on board that have not been in touch with computer science before. And well, I want to just create a community of creatives that use technologies in their creative practice. And that's what's driving me.
Yeah, it's very exciting to hear, and I'm sure it's going to do very well. And so when talking about growing that creative coding community by exposing more people to these new potential outcomes and careers through courses like yours, how do you see the adoption of new technologies and tools affecting the next generation of creators?
Yeah, I think there's a huge insecurity. Nobody knows which technology is going to last. That's very difficult. There are so many shiny websites that promote new JavaScript frameworks that look amazing, and everybody loves it, and it's really cool to do that. But in the end, some of these technologies just die. And it also depends where we look at. If we look at design universities, I feel like they have trouble to include these new technologies because they also don't know which one should they focus on, what is their profile, how shall this university, what kind of identity it should build. So this is a huge challenge because these universities are not really agile. They are not able to jump on something quickly. And that's a big problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. And maybe pushing that beyond just universities, how do you see some of these new technologies really changing what's possible in terms of the type of work that creators are able to do today?
Yeah, I mean, every technology that is new on the market always comes with a huge promise to create new markets, new possibilities in expression, in business. And there are some very agile designers, agencies, artists, whatever, who jump on that technology and create amazing things with that. For example, I was very fascinated by the work of Zach Lieberman. And when he started to just release his own applications that worked on iOS and Android, that was for me like, you know, a moment when I felt like, wow, that's great, because everybody told me that developing an application is super impossible for an artist. And well, there have been applications by artists before, but Zach Lieberman, that was something that was really switching my mindset. And now I know that it's possible to create those amazing applications. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so given your experience and all the resources and work that you've put out in order to help push this industry forward, how have you seen that community change and evolve around the world? Are there any cultural differences or perspectives that shift from country to country within the creative coding community?
Yeah, I think in the US, creative coding is very driven by computer science. That's something I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but well, I have the feeling that creative coding is really adapted by people who come from the computer science. In Europe, we have lots of more designers who jump onto that thing. And of course, that culture influences how people use creative coding, well, in their practice. In Europe, I have the feeling that people are more driven by aesthetics, but in the US, they are more driven by the technology itself, by the possibilities of that technology. Yeah, that's very interesting to observe.
Wow, that's really interesting to consider. And so beyond all your own amazing resources and everything that you've mentioned so far, are there any other things that you might point somebody towards?
I would definitely recommend to find somebody who inspires you. That's the most important thing. You need to build connections to people. It's not really important which book you pick. It's also not really important which technology you pick, because every technology basically teaches the same basics, right? If you learn JavaScript or Java or Python or whatever, everything is based on functions, object-oriented programming. All these things are very, very similar. So to keep track and to stay motivated, it's very, very important to find a mentor, somebody who guides you through difficult situations, somebody you can ask, and somebody especially who inspires you. And that's the most important thing. And that's why I'm still doing creative coding, because I always was looking for those people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that insight. But maybe just pushing a little bit further, is there any more advice that you would share with somebody who's maybe just getting started? And if so, what would it be?
I'm happy about everything that happened. I mean, I had trouble with so many things, but I've learned from every problem and every obstacle. So I wouldn't say that I would do something different if I look back, because everything, you know, life is a journey, I think, and obstacles can be ways. By the way, there's a great book by Ryan Holiday, which is called The Obstacle is the Way. I love that book. And that's how I look onto life. And that's very helpful for people who learn technologies, by the way, because you will face so many different obstacles, and obstacles should be challenges instead of things that just push you down. I can't say that I would do something different. I think I made everything right.
Yes, of course. But all joking aside, that is a very genuine answer, and I couldn't think of a better way to end this episode. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you. Your podcast is amazing. I love it. And thank you so much for having me. It's a great experience. Thanks.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Tech Plus Art Podcast. We're a very small team behind this project, so we greatly appreciate all your support. If you love our content and these podcasts, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend or two. This really does go a long way in helping us get discovered and reach more creators. As always, you can find us online at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. See you soon.